Welcome to the Ether. Today is Monday, June 13th, 2022. Today on the Ether, Stargaze, NFTs, and what projects are doing to build the ecosystem. Let's take a listen.
Hello, hello. Oh, I see that you requested, so let me just see. There we go. I'm just going to take a moment and share the link in our Discord and on Twitter and stuff here so we can get some more people in. But I'm excited for today. Thanks for joining.
Thanks for inviting us, and I'm going to do the same. I'll share it and see if I can quote retweet the tweet post on it.
Okay, sounds good. All right, so let's see here. I'm going to go share. I'm going to grab, make sure my Wi-Fi is connected to the right one here. It sounds a little bit choppy. Yeah, for anyone who's joining in right now, we're just taking a moment to share the space on Discord and on Twitter. So if you want to go ahead and get more people listening in, feel free to share the space as well. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and see if the team's ready.
All right. And then I just sent that out on our Discord and on Twitter. Did you guys have any specific like topics you wanted to cover in order or just kind of go with however it goes?
Yeah, we typically kind of just go with the flow, but I think we could talk about a little bit about Stargaze for some of the people who are maybe new to this chain. And then, as you know, we are previously were planned to launch on Terra, then Solana, and now we've settled on Stargaze with an official mint date. So I don't know if you wanted to talk a little bit about cross-chain collabs and things like that, but we can get started just introducing a little bit about our teams. And as well as talking about our projects and our roadmap, and that we can get into things to do with Stargaze.
And then, do you want me to kind of start off, or do you guys want to start off? Either way, I mean.
Sure. I was just going to say, I'm not sure if you're here alone right now, if there's anyone else from your team here, but if you want to invite them up. Other than that, yeah, go ahead and tell us a little bit about how your team came to be and your individual team members and how you came up with this idea for your project.
Yeah, so right now you can see Tin. He's on the call. He's our graphic design artist, actually, but he's also at work, so he won't be able to speak. Our team actually started brand new in February 2022. You know, we started posting a collection to OpenSea. You know, didn't get any traction. We heard of Stargaze. And then from that point on, we switched our entire mentality to what's today's startup marketplace we can find, you know, increased visibility. It's more in the infancy, less competition, and it's easier to stand out. And, you know, we went outside of the launchpad process and did our own. And we've grown quite a bit of ways from there. For our project itself, we decided to essentially start with a little Reaper character that I made, used to draw all the time back in elementary school. Tin, he reached out to me and was like, do you think you could do a NFT collection and do the minting for it? I said, sure. We did that. We have a total of 5 members on the team. And then at the beginning of April, we hired on a full-time developer who is helping us make kind of a Hearthstone auto chess-like card game. But everything we've done up until this point is we're working on building that card game as the main utility. And, you know, in the Cosmos ecosystem, the Juno ecosystem, we see the most traction on Stargaze. I think it makes sense that Stargaze is the main one. They have the most, I guess, easy process for creators not only to mint but also to airdrop, you know, the most attractive form of minting, which is pull from a random grab bag. And I mean, anyone who's used Stargaze knows it's just a simple and easy process compared to a lot of them.
I find it super interesting that you had settled on a different blockchain prior as well and then moved over here. I think since the crash of Terra Luna, my heart goes out to everybody. That was awful. But I think that since that happened, people are kind of like scattered and looking for these different chains. And Stargaze has like still so much potential in terms of what could be built over here. So I'm excited to see founders like yourself and other projects who are super passionate and looking to build the community. I also wanted to say that I kind of hijacked the main account here. So I'm going to let some of my other, I saw the Ape Society other account was looking to talk. Oh, I think they got rugged. Okay. Anyways, yeah, your project seems awesome. I had a chance to look through your Twitter and I'd love to hear a little bit about, you know, what you are looking to do for your community. Like what were some of the things while you were growing or that you feel that you're adding to the Stargaze community that maybe hasn't been done yet or just what you're doing to onboard some new people, things like that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, before we had this call, I looked through your guys' Discord as well and the announcements you did. And, you know, one of the things that we have really strived to do is that we had no prior experience to the NFT community. And the more we've got into it, we've found our most success comes in standing out and picking different routes than other projects. The specific thing that I was referring to when I looked at your Discord that I actually loved, but I know is not popular, is that you guys like forewent your DAO and you switch it to a treasury. I like ideas that don't necessarily follow the trends. For our project itself, what we've been doing to help give back to our support, our community, just a few examples. Every current holder from our first two sets, we airdropped one of the NFTs from our new sets. And what we did is that our first sets were 66 stars apiece. This new set that we airdropped that we made the mint price 666 stars. And the whole idea behind that was, hey, you know, we can't come out here as a new team and promise dividends. We just can't. It, you know, it doesn't make sense from a monetary standpoint. It incentivizes shady practices. But what we could do is we do this price discrimination where they all get airdropped this much more expensive NFT. So what we ended up doing was essentially they get airdropped this NFT. And when they originally bought their first NFTs for 66 stars, they could now sell this new NFT, even though it didn't hold a good floor price, usually for double or triple the cost, just because the new mint price of the new set was 10x the cost. And one thing that I did is we were discouraging new minters so our current earliest holders could sell for a profit in stars. And, you know, we all know Stargaze tokens price. So like in monetary wise, it's, you know, it might have been about break even. But the cool part was the fact that, you know, at least you got more of the currency back for coming in early on. And that's just one of the examples. You know, we tried to do more. Another thing we've done is a special one of one collection size called Sunnyside Elite, where it was Discord only. We customized, you know, the Reapers in that set and gave out, I think it was like 8 to 10 of them to different community members. The further along we go, basically, when we get to the game, the idea is that all of our art up until that point is going to be eligible for an NFT airdrop for the game itself. That's going to be like first edition. And then what we are hoping is that, you know, once we get to the game, we get kind of a next level of hype. And that's where those NFTs will have a monetary value that we can actually give back, you know, a fairly large return to our earliest supporters. So I think that about covers everything we've done up until this point.
I love that you're thinking ahead into how you can provide that monetary value to, you know, your early investors and how to make the most of that. But it also sounds like you're doing a lot different in the space. So I do love that. I think it's like, always so interesting to navigate a new space as well, like as more and more collections are starting to launch over on Stargaze. There's so many things that, again, are new. And so we need to think about, like, what's the min price going to be? What kind of supply? And like, it's such a weird thing to navigate and introduce these new ideas. But I think it's I'm going to let Mando here introduce himself as well, because I kind of rugged the main account. But Mando, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we can talk a little bit about, I know you'd mentioned how we cut out our DAO. We could talk about, you know, why that decision was made and what we had planned to do instead now.
Yeah, hi guys. The reason, I just want to kind of say hi to everybody on the platform right now. I'm Mando, and I'm the designer of the artwork that we've got in our current project. The question that Mays just put forward to me in regards to the DAO and the what we've gone with right now is due to the legalities and the basis of what we've seen in the last 6 to 12 months in terms of what DAOs have kind of offered and what they've gave in return. So we've not seen as much in terms of what you're kind of painted a picture in terms of what you can be expecting to what you're getting in a result basis. So what we felt in terms of just the legality side of it, that it can get kind of hairy in regards to what can happen if it's not done correctly. And there's a lot of DAOs out there that are doing it right, and there's a lot of DAOs out there that aren't doing it right. So we didn't want to be putting that kind of crosshairs with our community. We want to make sure we want to provide them with as much utility and as much from our project as possible. So we've kind of in turn gone down the route, and this has come from a team decision, and it's not like say one that's come from me, it's come from everybody within the team, that we wanted to go down the treasury route because we felt that we can offer more in terms of what we can do with that kind of treasury idea, in terms of it's a lot more flexible in our approach as we are doing the launcher for new artists. Once we've done our series, what that does is gives us the opportunity to be able to distribute new NFTs to the community as part of airdrops when these artists come on board with us and go through the vetting process. And we feel like there's a vision there. There's something that our holders can get a tangible asset straight away on the back of, instead of a small amount of USD or a monetary value, you get a NFT from a new hype project that may be coming through our platform. And what that does is gives you, like say, a sneak peek in what can be happening in the future. And I think how people can look at how treasuries can work and like say how flexible it can be. So that's what we want to do right now, and that's the kind of vision we've gone down the route, and we want to keep it as inclusive as possible. I think with the DAO you kind of limit yourself to a few holders. It's never it doesn't incorporate all the community at once, or the treasury. I think the people that will be holding our project long term after our snapshot will be able to kind of incorporate that, and then obviously within that as well give them roles within the community as well, so they can take some leadership roles and help grow the community and start building a different ethos or a different way of kind of thinking how a project should be run, and then also look at how we can grow that internally as well.
So I thought that was actually really interesting, the part where you had mentioned that, like, well, I guess with this, you know, one of the biggest things that I see in the space is when a project switches directions, you know, you can't always please everyone. And sometimes it's not what people want to hear. I guess what I'm curious about is when you guys got rid of the DAO, you know, how did you navigate that? And how did you communicate, you know, to your community and like lay it out and explain it? And what was the initial reaction? We've gone through it too, not with a DAO, but, you know, we change plans all the time. So I just want to hear, you know, what have you guys done? What have you noticed that works? What doesn't? That kind of stuff.
First, I definitely feel like having to change and pivot all the time is a part of the NFT space, just because things move so incredibly fast, and you know, what was working a month ago or even a week ago may not even be working now. And so as you kind of near that mint date, you have to make those important decisions that, you know, maybe not everyone will agree with. But I think when you can actually educate and lay out the facts and show some examples, these DAOs and these big ones that maybe some people are familiar with, like the Galactic DAO or the Luna Bulls, you know, you look at it or Wrecked Wolves and you can get some sort of return, but it takes, or it took those projects specifically, like 8 months or so, maybe even more, to build it out, right? So if you actually want to get a good return right off the bat, it's not going to happen. You'll get a few dollars here or a few cents there. But thinking long term and how to actually just hype up the project and make it more valuable in terms of new people coming in, and which is going to keep the floor price high, is what we've been looking at. And so we just explained that, and I feel like everyone's been super supportive. Over the last few days, we've been doing a lot in terms of getting the community involved with things like constant announcements, keeping them updated, game nights, chatting in the Discord. And so just keeping that open line of communication, I feel like, has been one of the best ways in allowing people to ask questions all the time is one of the ways that we've navigated that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, I saw that you guys did the game night. You know, we've done one of them, but like, I agree, especially when you see, you know, everyone woke up this morning or saw last night. No one was happy when they looked at their portfolio today. But
I was just wiping tears before we started this Twitter space. I was crying a bit this morning.
The creator, you know, you see times like this. For us, you know, obviously at this point, what's more important than anything else is the support and the community you build. Everything that we do in this downturn is, you know, keep people involved, keep them knowing that you're continuing to build, that you're continuing to progress and you're not giving up. I mean, you can already see I guess cracks where some projects that used to be very vocal, you don't see them around as anymore. And while this time, you know, sucks, interest will go down, you know, in general, as a newer project, we actually like it because this is the time where you get to see who's actually in it for the long run and who was in it for the fad. So that, you know, from our standpoint, yeah, no, we're not happy about, you know, when we see what's going on, but we see opportunity in it as well.
Yeah, I think I have to agree with everything May and yourself have said. I think our word of this project is probably pivot, because the amount of times we had to pivot from, like you say, from Luna to Sol to now to Stargaze. But what we've kind of, like you say, done in turn is keep that community engagement up, and keeping the two words, like I say, would be pivot and transparency. And I think those are what kind of traits you need in terms of to keep that community engaged and keep that community up to date with everything you're doing. We've liked to work on a basis where it's a bottom-up type of project. So whatever our community wants us to do, we will try to accommodate as much as possible in regards to the project, the way the project's going. That's why when we did our roadmap, we always said we're going to keep this organic and we're going to keep it holistic in terms of the approach. Whenever there's going to be, like, say, hard sections to be able to achieve that we want to do in the roadmap, but how we get there is through the community, and which way we go, it's down to the community. I think those are the key elements that helps a project succeed in the long-term vision. If you've got a short-term vision and you don't see anything in that kind of realm with your community, then you're not going to have that kind of level of engagement, or you're not going to get your community kind of, like, you know, falling on their sword for you, falling on their shield for you. So you, whatever you put in, you kind of want to, you get that in return. So like I say, with all of our team, we've always give it 100%. Everyone that's on part of the team or has joined the team has got a value on why they're there. And that's why I kind of picked everybody, the people that are onboarded, the people that have kind of come through through the team. They've all got a value that they bring to that project. And like I say, one person and one vision doesn't get far. It's about a communal vision and how does that community kind of evolve. And same with the team. Like my vision is a lot different to how May's vision may be. So, and her giving me ideas and me having those conversations with her gives us the opportunity to kind of amalgamate better ideas. And I think those are to me are really important factors in how we can encompass a good community and how we can grow as a project and how we can keep a platform like say Stargaze from growing and taking on better projects in terms of like short-term rugs. It happens everywhere. But how can we kind of negate that kind of factor from happening? And like you say, you see this now in the bear market where, you know, people don't want to be, I don't even want to look at my portfolio at the moment. But what we do know is that we're here for a long term, and we're not looking at the short term of crypto or as a, Stargaze as a platform. We're looking at where this project can go and what's the vision of Stargaze and where they can end up. So it's just really, that's how we're looking at things. Instead of a 2 to 3 month, we're looking at more of a 6, 12, 18 months, where we can kind of go with our project and how we can establish ourselves as a brand, and then how can we onboard better artists that can come through and then give them the correct platform to kind of succeed as well.
Absolutely. I love the part where you said, like, we look at what's reasonable and like building with the community. I think one of the biggest things, and where you said, you know, this is kind of where the, you'll start to see who the good projects are, the ones trying to shine, is that one of the biggest things that I've always disliked about this space is all the big promises early on. And then you see a large amount of these projects never come through. So I really like the idea that, you know, when you think about what's manageable, you give people timelines and things, and you don't try to give them the world right away. Because, you know, 99 times out of 100, you'll never be able to just say, oh yeah, if you buy this, you know, you'll 5x your return. It just, you know, generally doesn't go that way. So I think just, especially in the bear market, just kind of bringing more realistic expectations to the timeline of how things usually take, and, you know, kind of adjusting expectations to realize, hey, it's no longer, you know, the gold rush that 2020, 2021 was. Now it's, you got to let the projects actually build and make what they say they're going to do come true. And then I actually had another question for you guys. So I know you guys came over from, you know, Terra, Solana. How was the process for getting your current followers at the time on board with the idea of moving over to Stargaze?
Yeah, so I definitely feel like people were super supportive. I feel like after witnessing what happens with Solana or some of the recent collections, how there's outages and some inconveniences there and all the competition, I think that in like a new and budding chain, that there's so much more opportunity to create those like blue chip projects that are going to be long term, that are going to get some real attention over here. Whereas like these other chains, you need a huge marketing budget, you need something, you need to know people, whatever it is, in order to just get some attention. So people were super positive and receptive to the idea of moving over to Stargaze. And I don't really feel like we've had to educate too many people on how to actually purchase stars or how all of that works. But we do have some resources available in our Discord, if anyone is wondering. But yeah, it was great. I think that some of the things we were talking about right now, I think a lot of us here listening are like me, where you buy at the top and then you panic when we're getting close to the bottom. And I think people tend to forget that that's where the actual real long-term successful projects are built, whether that is an NFT collection or any sort of like protocol or anything like that. That's where the things are going to be built, is when things are down. And you know, the real passionate entrepreneur is going to continue to keep working, like ourselves in your collection. So there's a lot that we have in store, and we did add some new things to our actual roadmap to get people more involved and add more sense of community. One of them being an in-person meetup, which I thought would be pretty cool. And to get more people who, again, are interested in Stargaze and want to be more educated, we could educate them there. And of course, party. People were super positive and receptive. It was great. Did you, did you have any issues with that, or how did you kind of navigate that when you switched?
So we actually, you know, we started on OpenSea, but that was more so just to do the test idea. We, you know, when we started in February and posted on OpenSea, we didn't have a Twitter, we didn't have a Discord, we had nothing. And so Stargaze was our first, really, that was our first real collection, whereas our OpenSea was more so of just kind of test the waters and see if we can do the minting, see if we can do the generation, and everything looked good on that end. So Stargaze is definitely our home. Since Stargaze, you know, we're making a game, and the whole idea of our game is that since metadata is relatively universal, it's going to be able to load metadata from any chain. We're not going to be locked in to, say, Stargaze or, you know, Ethereum, Polygon, etc. But Stargate or Cosmos ecosystem specifically is our focus to start. We like it because of all the startups, but our goal, which is, you know, different from a lot, is we're not really focused on the floor price early on. What we're focused on is our reach and getting our name known to as many people as we can. Because the end goal of ours is the game. We want the game to be the value driver, not necessarily the art for the project itself. So, you know, right now we're on OpenSea, Stargaze, then we went to OmniFlix, then we went to Stash. We're on Hopper.io, our most recent one, which is a Juno chain. And then in 3 to 6 weeks, we're going to be one of the first projects, or relatively in the first few projects, to launch on Asset Mantle. So we're just kind of trying to plant seeds everywhere we can, if that makes sense. But Stargaze is definitely our bread and butter in terms of where our community lies.
Again, I think that a lot of these people who came over, like the lunatics over from Terra, are looking for a home. And I think that if we can create, again, that sense of community, they'll feel super welcome. But I'm glad you have a good experience getting people over here, because, you know, that's how Stargaze is going to grow, is collections like ourselves are getting people more involved, educating, pulling people over from these other chains and showing them the potential that lies here. So I'm excited to see what happens in terms of like new marketplaces popping up and protocols over on Stargaze over the next few months, because we really haven't got much there and there's still so much that needs to be done. So again, a lot of opportunity for people who are looking to build during this time or looking for something to do now that their portfolio is down. But yeah, I'm really excited to see what happens over the course of the next few months and to be a part of that growth. So. You were talking about your game. Now, if you could talk about that a little bit more, and also like what the process was like building that, like what can people expect when they play this game with your collection?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we're a team of five, and the biggest thing, again, you know, I was talking about earlier, we don't like huge promises with nothing to do for it. So we keep our mint prices relatively low. The game itself is going to be a mix between Hearthstone and Auto Chess. And with a team of five, the biggest question is essentially, how are you going to make a full game that's actually fun and competes? One of the big things we did is that I built this idea from the ground up. Multiple team members on our team have, you know, over 10 years experience in Hearthstone, TFT, you know, Magic the Gathering, Gwent, like those kinds of games. And what we did is that the two hardest things that we found to balance were card draw and resource management. So what we did is we removed those two aspects for the most part. So it's going to be a deck of 20 to 30 cards, and it's going to be player versus player. And each hand, you draw three cards. And then you get to play two of the three. There's no cost associated with it or anything like that. And then the battlefield is three lanes, three Reapers, and then three Omens behind it. And then we have things like secrets that are reactionary cards that are face down. We have these kind of comeback mechanics that play in as well. But the biggest question usually then is, how do you make a game with only... you only get to play two out of three cards a hand fun, because where's the thought process behind it? And with that, since we don't have resource management, what we're allowed to do is make these extremely high powered cards. So in a lot of games, you have this kind of slow buildup where you're building up the board, you're putting down cards. You got to get like four or five monsters before anything fun happens. Our entire idea is that each card is very impactful and can cause major swings when played appropriately. So that mixed with the idea that everything in our game, the Reapers themselves, how do they differentiate? Some image assets will be tied to traits, but, you know, we're going to roll health health attack on a scale. Then we're going to have block or dodge. We're still mixing around with how we want to do block and dodge. And then we are also going to do crit chance, special abilities that are tied to the scythe. And then lastly, we're going to do factions. So like a red border would be the hell faction, right? Hell faction, when you have two of them on the board, they both get plus one health. If you have three of them on the board, they all get plus two health. And the mix of all of those together is how we're going to essentially try to create a, you know, something similar to Yu-Gi-Oh! Where there's a secondary market that's valuable to trade the high power cards. And then for the power level themselves, all we're doing is we're using a power allocator. Essentially, you know, so a Reaper cannot roll 100 attack, 100 defense, the best special ability, the highest crit, highest dodge. We're going to randomize the order that our traits are picked in. And then if something rolls high, it's going to reduce the percentage of the rest of the draws. And this is how we're going to prevent from just OP broken cards being taken in, because they're all going to be at a max to this power scale that we're using. And with that, you know, right now the game's fully playable in Tabletop Simulator. We've played it for some of our OG Discord members before. Right now our developer is working on CosmWasm integration to verify the NFTs. That should be done within a month. And then after that, we're going to work on gameplay. The gameplay itself, we ended up buying a Unity card kit that came with, you know, a deck builder, demo game, and then online play. So that cut down a lot of the development time. And really all we need to do is put in the rules for our game. And then, you know, we're hoping in October, December time range, I shouldn't say hoping, we're pretty confident that in that time range, we will release the game. And then we're aiming for the Google Play Store first. And then after the Google Play Store, we're going to hope to branch out to Apple and desktop. But the focus is Google Play, because since we are not pay to earn, it's relatively not problematic to get on the Play Store. Whereas Apple is a bit more stringent. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, building all that with your 5-person team is extremely impressive. I know that some other projects that I was familiar with over on Terra Luna were like a team of like 13 plus. And so I'm super impressed with that for sure. I know that Amanda was going to speak as well earlier. So I want to give him a chance to speak up on whatever he had to say.
I just had a quick question with what you've talking about with your decks. Are you looking at, like, for example, extending that deck with like a series 2 and 3, or is it going to be a base deck that evolves over time? Or is there going to be additional cards added? While obviously I imagine you'll probably have a thought process now, but I imagine, like you say, things do change over time and you go with what you're trying to build. But is there going to be any additional series coming out or additional cards in like series 2, 3, 4, or is it just that one deck that you're going to be working with?
Oh, yeah. So this part is, thank you for asking that, because this brings up like another big question if you thought about it more, is the fact that with the game, you know, one of the biggest things is what happens if it's not balanced, right? So what we did is that the Reapers generally act as defensive titans that protect the backline, whereas support cards and deck manipulation, that's where most of the game is played. So we're keeping most of the balance in the base cards that are not printed NFTs. So if we see anything problematic, we can fix it. And then what we're planning on doing is probably something, you know, similar to Hearthstone. We're going to release a base set and you'll get a certain amount of cards for free right away. And then we're going to have a progression system, right? You know, play 10 games as this hero, play 10 games as that hero. And then like that gets you more from the base set and gives an idea of progression. Over time, you know, initially what we'd like to do is all current holders of our NFTs of the art ones will be airdropped in some, usually a 1-to-1, but some ratio of our current work for NFT airdrop of the game. And then we want about 5,000 of the 10,000 to actually be mintable whereas we give 5,000, give or take, to our earliest supporters. Over time, it's really just going to depend. The whole idea that we want is we want the secondary market to be our sales and value. That way, we're not reliant on primary sales for revenue. So we're not incentivized to print more for the sake of printing more. And then we're just going to play it by ear, you know. If we see it and people are playing it, we would like to do expansion packs. The main idea is like we're going to avoid power creep, in essence, by we'll create things like new factions, new special abilities, or maybe a set is very heavily geared towards higher defense stats, but now their attack can't roll as high. So everything's going to be a lateral move, and we're not going to try to make it like Hearthstone where, you know, every set there's a new busted card or they have to reset it so they can rebuild it back up. And we think this model, you know, if we're successful, can work for quite a while. And then over time, I'm not sure on our release schedule for additional basic cards, but I would imagine that we would add basic cards in smaller groups more often, just for added variety of gameplay. And then new mintable collections would be on a much less frequent basis. And that's two parts. One, it takes a lot of time to, you know, build and think of unique, new, fun ways. But two, we don't want to just keep diluting our market pool. We want there to be enough to go around. You know, that's the pipe dream, right? Like, if we have enough interest, we want it to be like a relatively considered rare asset. But we'll play it, you know, mostly by ear. And we're trying not to, you know, we want that first set to go, and we want to keep that relatively low until we need new gameplay to keep people interested going forward.
Oh, that sounds pretty epic, you know. Well done on that, bro.
Appreciate it.
Kind of want to open up the floor to see if there's any questions about anything that we've talked about so far, whether it's Stargaze, the game, the elimination of our DAO. I know some people were asking in the Discord. So if anyone here has any questions, feel free to request and I can pull you up. But let me just check here and see if any questions have come up. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I was going to say it's really interesting what you're talking about in terms of how this deck, like say, is going to be not heavy on, like you said, the series and more based on what you're producing initially. But I think for me, I'm really interested in what you guys are producing. Hopefully it's a massive success and we can be a part of something like that. And hopefully we can help in terms of our community to get that involved. I just want to kind of quickly get in there while the juices were flowing and you were talking. I just want to give a little sneak peek about what we were doing with our project and where we are at the current moment. Hopefully everyone knows that we're minting on the 27th of this month, and we are minting at 777. And we just wanted to kind of give you a little scope of where we are with the project at the moment in terms of the second collection. Well, initially, hopefully, once everything's been minted or whenever we do get through to the mint finishing, we will be opening up our swap shop. So what the swap shop will look like will be, if you have more than four NFTs, you'll be able to trade two of your non-desirable NFTs for a more desired piece that we'll be holding in the swap shop, which will have around 1,000 pieces. That's something that we've already got pretty much in place. We just need to work out if we're going to do that manually or we're going to do that through some sort of some smart contract, but depending on what we want to do or go down that route. But I think something that I kind of talked about before, but I didn't really discuss much about it, is our serums. I think the people on here, they've been waiting for me to explain a bit more about what the serums look like and how they work. So the serums will be, we will be only releasing 1,000 serums. And then what the serums will have is the ability to mutate your original ape, and that will work as a deflationary for the original Genesis collection. And what the special utility, which I've talked about but I didn't tell anyone what the utility is, if you do get hold of a serum you take your ape, you will be airdropped one of the series 2 and 3. So that's just new news that I've not shared with anybody But I thought, I felt like it's time to share that information, that once you do mutate your ape will be automatically getting an airdrop of our second series and third series. So those are the real big kind of elements to the serum. I didn't want to share the utility, but yeah, I just wanted to keep that between ourselves at the minute. But I feel like it's time to share a bit more about how the utility works with the serums. And when you do mutate them, like, it reduces your original collection, so that becomes more scarce, and the value hopefully retains on them. And then, like you say, with the serum ones, you only got 1,000 pieces, so there'll only be 1,000 mutant apes. You can sell them in between until the new second and third pieces come out. But whoever holds it at that time when we do our snapshots will be getting airdrop those pieces. Sorry, just wanted to get that in there with you guys.
Oh, yeah. No. Sorry about that. No, absolutely. Especially when you guys are working your way up to June 27th for your Stargaze launch. One of the biggest things that we try to do on our team is, we know we're not the biggest, right? Like, we're a new project. There's bigger names out there, but we're always happy to help. Like, if you guys need, if you want to do cross collabs, giveaways on Twitter, if you want to even do like something where we mix in an asset, or we do like, the whitelist. I always mix up which one it is, but we're more than happy to help. I think a lot of projects don't go in depth from like what I've already heard you guys saying. I've seen the Discord, it's lively. And there's a lot of big projects where you look at Discord, which generally is the hardcore supporters, and they don't have one. They have a couple thousand Twitter followers, but I see you guys working on the community, and you got people talking in the Discord. I really think that's where the value is these days, and that's who really is like kind of driving your success. I can't speak enough about a lot of the community members in our Discord who just regularly will do giveaways of their NFTs that they minted, or shout us out for no other reason than they support us. So I, anything we can do to help, just let us know, and we're happy to help get the word out there and get you guys to be a name brand. We're always happy to form long-term relationships with some other projects.
I appreciate that, Sunnyside. I appreciate that. We've been working very hard with our community. We have been through a tough time, but honestly, recently, the community just actually coming over to us and asking us for help, and asking us, can we start posting? Can we start doing this? Can we share this? And we're just letting them do what they know best. Like you said, the community are the guys that have already been there. They're in this project, they're in that project, and fully understanding our community is really making our project grow to another level. And especially with what you just said, Sunnyside, I would appreciate to do a nice little collab in the near distant future, most definitely. Thank you.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah. Reach out to me either on Twitter or Discord. I think I covered a lot of what we had to talk here about today. I'd say ask for questions, but we all know how Twitter spaces go. There might be one or two I'm happy to answer, but unless you guys got anything else, just let me know. Otherwise, I think I've said what we've wanted to say on our end.
Yeah, I think we're good over here as well. But any questions that do come up, obviously they can go ahead and ask on Twitter or in the Discord, and we'll have people ready to answer. But other than that, sorry for the pause earlier. I was taking like a 5-minute break, but I'm back. I think we're good on our end. I don't have any more questions. And today was awesome. I'm so glad we got to learn a little bit more about your project, and I'm excited to see how we can collaborate in the future. I know that from dropping a few collections myself, that was one of the things I love the most, collaborating with these other projects, finding a way that we could kind of like use each other's utilities and work together in that sense, so we can just create more and more value for our holders. So I'm excited to see where that goes. And thanks again for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I know you're from a different chain, and that's what we love. We love this idea that we can kind of take people that haven't heard of projects from other chains and kind of introduce them to one another, and show them a different side that they haven't seen Stargaze, or they haven't seen Solana, and so forth and so on. So thank you guys very much. And it was great having the opportunity to come up here and talk today.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone, for joining. This will be available as a recording if anyone wants to listen in after or missed anything. But thanks, everyone, for joining. Today was awesome. If you have any questions, go ahead and ask in the Discord. And I will see everyone on our next space.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Mando Space.
Thank you, everyone, for joining this space. Like I said, just want to say thank you for all coming together and spending a little bit of time with us and getting to know our project and Sunnyside. And hopefully we're going to be running a couple of more spaces in between now until we launch and get more information out to you guys in terms of, like I say, a project utility-wise and what's kind of like in the future for people that want to be long-term holders of the TSAS crew. Thank you very much, guys.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was Stargaze, NFTs, and what projects are doing to build the ecosystem. Recorded on Monday, June 13th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support. Sipping on a little bit of sin I've been giving, try to keep it written down so it feels like I've been living. I've been realizing a minute reality ain't got limits, going out my fucking mind, testing out the physics, stretching out the distance. For instance, let me be specific, the risk is hedge funding the business, betting on the difference, ingesting all the research, sleeping through the rebirth, sliding out feet first, sleep tight little dreamer, early to bed, early to rise with a rugged ass demeanor, taking beats to the cleaners. You know I love my t-shirts and the people who support my little dream here. Transparent cows, I gotta steer clear. 2020 going down is one fucking weird year. Take a second look around, the psyops is winning. Set the table, we just biopsy dinner.
Now, I'm gonna react to that and act like I'm telling you a personal anecdote. Something to break the tension. Something to endear myself a little bit. Something kind of embarrassing. And you guys are gonna make an awe sound. It's true. It really happened.
They got a tracker in the phone, tracking everywhere we go. And it's fine if I don't know, I already sold my soul. Getting ready, rock and roll, tip the first domino. Feeling up, I'm in a bowl with these avalanche flows. Stop and rest on the road, gotta get where I'm going. And the rest of y'all know that we hit the ground soaring. I'll be coming for the fuckers that be summoning the trouble. Running on the double while I'm handing out the W's. Putting wins on the board every fucking day. They love me on the team because I know my fucking place. Better get in where you fit in, I'm delivering the meaning. I inherited the demons, always sneaky, never seen them. If I'm breathing, I'm reading, I'm not even being conceited. I need to see for myself if you think that I'm believing. It's the season of reason, y'all be seizing the research. I'm receiving the meaning, that shit's called teamwork.
It's not so much as so little has to do with what everything is, but it is within our self-interest to understand the topography of our lives under ourselves. The future states that there is no time other than the collapsation of that sensation of the mirror of the memories in which we are living. Common knowledge, but important nonetheless.
Imagine a world in which an old dying man's last dying wish is fulfilled.
Alexa? Can you play that one C-Fi space where he clowned all the SafeMoon and XRP bag holders and then told everyone to buy Luna because it was going to 1,000?
I'm confused why we're not talking about the fact that you can easily, like, 300x your money on XRP. Like,
you know, I was looking at the TikTok, I remember a time. And it's Alexa, enough. I'm trying to reminisce now. I remember a time before Terra Spaces existed, when things that were said on random Twitter spaces would just get lost to the proverbial black hole of time.
That's the best bet.
Why isn't Luna in wind turbines?
Hey, guys,
I'm reading all about these wind
guys,
turbines.
Guys, do you mind if I explain Cardano a little bit? Because I've been in Cardano since like 2018 and I can give you a full breakdown.
Just when you thought it was safe to shill shitcoins.
Oh my god, you guys, I don't know what to do. So much blood. It's so red.
From the creators of Your Exit Liquidity,
in association with We All Love to Hear Ourselves Talk, Inc. For more information, go to terraspaces.org/donate. Terra Spaces.